You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. I spent a couple of hours listening to the testimony of Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and it struck me that, what was I watching? A fairy tale? And what do I mean by that? The Democratic Party and its politicians, whether in the Senate or the House, have been on a glorious witch hunt to bring down Donald Trump by fair means or foul, and it's really foul means. And they have a theory, a conspiracy theory, that Donald Trump and his campaign colluded with the Russians. There's only one problem with this conspiracy theory. There's no evidence of that. They're coming up empty, just like when President Barack Obama, through his national security advisor and others, used the intelligence community, primarily the National Security Agency, the FBI and the CIA, to try to see if they could prove that there was collusion. He turned the NSA and the intelligence community on the Republican Party and Donald Trump, and they came up empty, despite the best efforts of some Democrats, namely Hillary Clinton, to try to persuade the American people that the election was stolen because of this collusion. And she's since given speech after speech, blaming everybody but herself. The reason Hillary Clinton lost is Hillary Clinton. Look in the mirror. It's hard to admit that you were rejected and you did lose presidential race that you should have won. Now, let me make it very, very clear up front. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican, because I believe both of those parties have become corrupt as government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm for limited government. I'm for a representative republic. But we don't have that anymore. We have an American empire, and we intervene in country after country. We try to overthrow governments using the CIA, and if that fails, the U.S. military. And resented around the world, because very quickly, even when we liberate people, they begin to resent and then hate us and view us as occupiers, not as liberators, but occupiers. Today, the United States is the hegemon, the superpower. That's expensive. There's a reason why we have a $20 trillion national debt, and there's a reason why we have over $200 trillion of unfunded liabilities for Social Security and Medicare. We're living way beyond the means of the American people, and we're placing a huge burden on future generations. And that has been done by the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. We literally cannot balance the budget to save their lives. Neither party can. There's no hope and no change as long as the two-party tyranny continues to rule. And now we have the Democratic Party trying to radicalize its base, its voter base, as it shrinks. They're in panic mode. They're cracking up. They become hysterical. You see, the game plan, the strategy was, over time, to legalize the 30 to 60 million illegal aliens that are here, not the 11 or 12 million, by granting them citizenship. And by so doing, they anticipate that at least 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 4, will become Democratic voters. That was the plan. Plan is not succeeding because we have a president, Donald Trump, that says, he hasn't done it yet, that he's going to stop the invasion of this country by illegal aliens by building a wall and then following it up by deporting the illegal aliens that are here. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, and the way you listen is to go to my companion blog, prompops.wordpress.com. Under my photograph, you'll have links to the most recent shows, but under that, you'll have my show notes. And I have, over the years, this is not a new issue with me, been a strong advocate of the rule of law and the enforcement of all laws, including those pertaining to immigration. We don't need immigration reform. Far from it. What we need is immigration law enforcement. And the American people have woken up, especially working Americans, to the fact that the elites, the political elitist establishment of both parties, really don't care what the concerns of the American people are. What the career politicians are interested in and spend most time on is to stay in power by getting campaign contributions. And the big money is from the donor class, the ruling class, the owners of this country, the billionaires like Donald Trump, who regularly give to both parties, Democrat and Republican, as long as they will go along with their agenda. And the agenda is they want cheap, compliant labor. That's why your large corporations, especially media companies, are all for open borders. And that's why Barack Obama got elected. Came out of nowhere. But if you come out of nowhere and have the financial support of the powers that be, not only in Wall Street, but in the large corporations of America, it's very difficult to beat you. And the same applies to Hillary Clinton. She should have won, but she failed to connect with the American people. And she was wrong on this issue. That's why the white vote, especially males, but also women, voted for Trump. They did not, and I'm talking total numbers, not one person, they did not vote for the Democratic Party. That's why I say the American people have woken up. They said, enough is enough. You're not concerned about jobs for our children and our grandchildren. And you're burdening our children and grandchildren with debt piled on debt piled on debt. The game is up. The party's over. And what's happening slowly but surely, people are abandoning the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Right now, they consider themselves independents. And when it comes election time, they don't have a choice. So they lean one way or the other. They would rather vote, and they did vote last time, for an outsider, even though he was running on the Republican ticket. Really, as a matter of convenience, I consider him, frankly, a liberal Democrat from New York City. And I'm originally from New York and know it well. He knew he couldn't get the Democratic nomination, so why not give it a shot? And lo and behold, he won not only the nomination, but the presidency. And the Democratic Party, long time ago, going on 50 years ago, has gone further and further and further to the left, wanting more and more government, thinking government is the answer to every single problem confronting the United States. It isn't. It's been a failure, whether it was under FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or Barack Obama. And there's a series of the progressives. The Republican Party has progressives. And really, the Republican Party leadership today, although they like to paint themselves as conservative, they're not. I have a name for them. Rollover Republicans. Democrats will say, roll over, and they say, how many times? And that's the problem faced by those that advocate, such as me, for limited government. We don't truly have a party. We have a few people in the Republican Party. At one time, we actually had a few people in the Democratic Party, but you have to go back many, many years, that favored limited government. Not anymore. That's why the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are both for big government. The Constitution has become a dead letter, even though there are moves afoot to change that. We'll see if they succeed. But as far as I'm concerned, until the American people rise up and rebel and establish a new political party, call it the American Independence Party, whatever name you prefer, and challenge both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party and stay true to our principles and beliefs in limited government, nothing's going to change. And I have reservations about President Trump. I couldn't vote for any of the candidates. They don't share my political philosophy, and I'm very, very skeptical. Anyone can say anything, but actions speak way louder than words. So the jury is still out on Donald Trump whether or not he will fulfill his main campaign contribution to roll back the invasion of this country by 30 to 60 million. No one knows what the true number is. I don't pretend to know. The only thing I'll say, it's not 11 or 12 million. That's the big lie that the big lie media echoes and amplifies to the extent that both Democrats and Republicans and independents even believe the number. You can believe what you want. I don't believe it. Because if you go talk to the people on the front lines, the U.S. Border Patrol, and people have over the years, they will tell you for every one that they apprehend, minimum of three get away, on average five. And up to the Obama administration, the average was about 1 million apprehensions a year, sometimes much higher, sometimes lower. It's easy to do the math. Well, if you apprehend one million, then at least 3 million a year for 15 or 20 years have been coming to the United States. It's cheap labor. Now, at one time, we didn't have the welfare state. It was very much, when you got here, you had to work. It was very much sink or swim, and about a third of the people went back home. They either couldn't cut it, didn't like it, couldn't learn the language, they went home. But two out of three stayed, and that was before welfare. What's different today is why the majority that come to the United States are looking for work and employment. There's some that are looking for welfare and a free education, and we provide it to them. And it's bankrupting this country across the land, whether it's school districts, community hospitals. And when you're talking the numbers we're talking, and that's the big difference, you got to look at the cumulative effect. What's in it for the Democrats is voters in power. That's why they support this policy. What's in it for the Republicans? It's large campaign contributions. I always say follow the money and you'll get your answers. The big businesses in this country want cheap, compliant labor, and they will support either party as long as they get cheap, compliant labor. Now the lying lunatic left losers, and they are losing across this country in election after election, over 1,000 offices, are cracking up. They become delusional and hysterical. They have not provided one substantiated fact of collusion between either Donald Trump or his campaign and the Russians. It's a fairy tale used by the Democratic Party at the instigation of the Clintons, among others, to justify their failures and the fact that they were rejected by the American people. Of course they're rejected by the American people. They see what's going on, and they know the Democratic Party is not really helping them. They've forgotten about the American worker. They're more concerned about illegal aliens. And unfortunately, the same is true with the Republican Party. There are exceptions to this. I understand that. And Jeff Sessions happens to be one of the exceptions. He was one of the few senators that spoke out about this, was defending the American worker, and it took courage, call it profile and courage, and they're going after him as well as Trump. And remember, Jeff Sessions was an early supporter of Donald Trump. So you know where I'm coming from. Like I said, I'm no longer either a Democrat or Republican, and it's over 10 years when I finally woke up. You see it in the numbers. You see, the numbers are hard to hide, whether it's the national debt or unfunded liability. Those are the symptoms of a problem. The fact that the U.S. economy is stagnating, it should grow on average about 3.5% a year. It's been growing less than 2% because of the failed economic policies of Barack Obama, imitating the disastrous economic policies of Roosevelt, and the consequences of LBJ's so-called Great Society. Oh, everyone likes Medicare, but Medicare is going broke. Deficits after deficits. Doctors are not getting paid, or health care providers are not getting paid what they usually and customarily charge. Obamacare was a disaster. It is failing miserably. So I wanted to give you a bigger context as to why Democrats are attacking Jeff Sessions. They're perpetuating the myth, the fairy tale, the conspiracy theory that Donald Trump and his campaign and his supporters were in cahoots with the Russians. If anyone is in cahoots with the Russians, if you know the history of the Democratic Party, it's the Democratic Party. What do you think McCarthy was about? Now, I'm not going to defend Senator Joe McCarthy, but factually, he was correct. During the FDR administration, continuing into the Truman administration, there were communists in the government. And we have the evidence of that. The FBI had the evidence of that. What the Democratic Party is trying to do is project what they do onto the Republican Party, and it's not working. It's not working. Let's hear briefly the introductory comments of Attorney General Sessions.
Thank you, Attorney General Sessions. The floor is yours.
Thank you much. Thank you very much, Chairman Burr and Ranking Member Warner, for allowing me to publicly appear before your committee today. I appreciate the committee's critically important efforts to investigate Russian interference with our democratic processes. Such interference can never be tolerated, and I encourage every effort to get to the bottom of any such allegations. As you know, the Deputy Attorney General has appointed a special counsel to investigate the matters related to the Russian interference in the 2016 election. I'm here today to address several issues that have been specifically raised before this committee. And I appreciate the opportunity to respond to questions as fully as the Lord enables me to do so. But as I advise you, Mr. Chairman, and consistent with longstanding Department of Justice practice, I cannot and will not violate my duty to protect the confidential communications I have with the President. Now, let me address some issues directly. I did not have any private meetings, nor do I recall any conversations with any Russian officials at the Mayflower Hotel. I did not attend any meetings at that event separate. Prior to the speech I attended by the President today, I attended a reception with my staff that included at least 24 people and President Trump, though I do recall several conversations that I had during that pre-speech reception. I do not have any recollection of meeting or talking to the Russian ambassador or any other Russian officials. If any brief interaction occurred in passing with the Russian ambassador during that reception, I do not remember it. After the speech, I was interviewed by the news media. There was an area for that in a different room, and then I left the hotel. But whether I ever attended a reception where the Russian ambassador was also present is entirely beside the point of this investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 campaign. Let me state this clearly, colleagues. I have never met with or had any conversation with any Russians or any foreign officials concerning any type of interference with any campaign or election in the United States. Further, I have no knowledge of any such conversations by anyone connected to the Trump campaign. I was your colleague in this body for 20 years, at least some of you, and the suggestion that I participated in any collusion, that I was aware of any collusion with the Russian government to hurt this country, which I have served with honor for 35 years, or to undermine the integrity of our democratic process is an appalling and detestable lie. Relatedly, there is the assertion that I did not answer Senator Franken's question honestly at my confirmation hearing. Colleagues, that is false. I can't say colleagues now. I'm no longer a part of this body, but former colleagues, that is false. This is what happened. Senator Franken asked me a rambling question after some 6 hours of testimony that included dramatic new allegations that the United States intelligence community, the U.S. intelligence community, had advised President-elect Trump, quote, that there was a continuing exchange of information during the campaign between Trump's surrogates and intermediaries for the Russian government. Close quote. I was taken aback by that explosive allegation, which he said was being reported as breaking news that very day, and which I had not heard. I wanted to refute that immediately. Any suggestion that I was part of such an activity, I replied to Senator Franken this way, quote, Senator Franken, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians, and I'm unable to comment on it. Close quote. That was the context in which I was asked the question, and in that context, my answer was a fair and correct response to the charge as I understood it. I was responding to this allegation that we had met, surrogates had been meeting with the Russians on a regular basis. It simply did not occur to me to go further than the context of the question and to list any conversations that I may have had with Russians in routine situations, as I had many routine meetings with other foreign officials. So please hear me now. And it was only in March, after my confirmation hearing, that a reporter asked my spokesperson whether I had ever met with any Russian officials. This was the first time that question had squarely been posed to me. On the same day, we provided that reporter with the information related to the meeting that I and my staff had held in my Senate office with Ambassador Kislyak, as well as the brief encounter in July after a speech that I had given during the convention in Cleveland, Ohio. I also provided the reporter with a list of 25 foreign ambassador meetings that I'd had during 2016. In addition, I provided supplemental testimony to the Senate Judiciary Committee to explain this event. So I readily acknowledge these two meetings, and certainly not one thing happened that was improper in any one of those meetings. Let me also explain clearly the circumstances of my recusal from the investigation into the Russian interference with the 2016 election. Please, colleagues, hear me on this. I was sworn in as Attorney General on Thursday, February 9th. The very next day, as I had promised to the Judiciary Committee I would do, at least at an early date, I met with career department officials, including a senior ethics official, to discuss some things publicly reported in the press that might have some bearing on whether or not I should recuse myself in this case. From that point, February 10th, until I announced my formal recusal on March 2nd, I was never briefed on any investigative details, did not access any information about the investigation. I received only the limited information that the department's career officials determined was necessary for me to form and make a recusal decision. As such, I have no knowledge about this investigation as it is ongoing today, beyond what has been publicly reported. I don't even read that carefully. And I have taken no action whatsoever with regard to any such investigation. On the date of my formal recusal, my chief of staff sent an email to the heads of relevant departments, including by name to Director Comey of the FBI, to instruct them to inform their staffs of this recusal and to advise them not to brief me or involve me in any way in any such matters. And in fact, they have not. Importantly, I recuse myself not because of any asserted wrongdoing or any belief that I may have been involved in any wrongdoing in the campaign, but because a Department of Justice regulation, 28 CFR 45.2, I felt required it. That regulation states in effect that department employees should not participate in investigations of a campaign if they serve as a campaign advisor.
Let me interrupt here. I have a few comments, and I'll amplify them later if I have time. Senator Jeff Sessions, when he was in the Senate, had a sterling reputation for honesty and integrity. What we have going on by the Democrats is a smear campaign of the worst sort. They have no evidence, so they attacked the reputation of someone with lies. And what you have going on is people in the Obama administration that are still working for the government, leaking information to the press, which is a crime, a felony. With these wild charges that few people believe, especially those that know Jeff Sessions. And now he's had the opportunity, I think, to refute them. Because if they had the evidence, ladies and gentlemen, they would by now have produced them. And they don't. I've called what's going on a sideshow of a sideshow. The American people are not interested in this. The only ones that are really interested in this are those that want to keep their positions. I just got the signal. I got to wrap it up. I'm going to, on the next show, continue this because I really wanted you to hear the entire statement of Jeff Sessions, as well as some of the questions by both Republicans and Democrats. These charges are false. They're poisoning the atmosphere in Washington and across the United States. And it's an attempt by the lying lunatic left to radicalize their base. It's not working. And like I've said before, when your political opponents are hurting themselves, you really shouldn't even talk about it. Let them commit political suicide by digging their own graves deeper and deeper. It's not working because fundamentally the American people are fair and they really dislike and despise those that are engaged in a smear campaign of the worst sort. And they will pay for it in the next election and the next election following it. Because when you ignore the American people and what their real concerns are, they won't vote for you. It doesn't matter whether their entire life they were Democrats. Like I said, the long-range trend is more and more people are deserting both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They've had enough of both parties. They've had enough of the lies. And they've had enough of the political elite doing the bidding of their donor class. So I'll continue this, pick it up in the next show, and I'll have a little bit more time then. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.